Okay, we're gonna read in several different places. I think a lot of times it does us well if we read a passage of scripture that might be what we might be to think is clear or maybe unclear. Don't matter either way. That it would do us well if we search the other gospels, if we're happening to be reading in Matthew or Mark, Luke, or John, that we would search the other gospels and see if there's any mention of that same account. Or a different account speaking where Jesus is speaking on the same principle that can be found in the Word of God, and then we might be able to better understand it. I grew up in church all my life, and I don't remember. I don't think that I ever heard a message preached on what's it mean to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Now I've heard a lot of preachers say what it ain't. I've heard all my life where somebody says, "Well, sinner, if you think you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, well, I want to tell you, you can't blaspheme something you don't know." And we're going to search the Scripture and we're going to find out, is that biblical? Is that what the Bible teaches? And what exactly that it is? I know that in my mind that this was something that I never really gave much thought to, and we did a while back, and the Lord brought it to our mind last night, and we read on. And my desire is that we might bring clarity to the Scripture, that we might cause you to ask questions, and then those questions, that they might be answered by the Word of God. It says in Matthew, if you'd want to turn there, in the 12th chapter, in the 31st verse, it says, "Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. And whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Now then we're going to read this last verse in this Matthew passage. It says, in the 33rd, it says, "Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by his fruits." And many times when we read the Scripture, we need to know, ask ourselves, who is the Lord addressing and what's he talking about? We know that I'd encourage you to read a whole chapter of Matthew as well as the other chapters we're going to read from. We know that there was those of the Pharisees that was saying that Jesus Christ was casting out demons because that he was a follower, that he done it in the name of Beelzebub. As we can turn and we'll read the whole account, if you would, over in Mark, the 3rd chapter, because see, some of those, once again, it said that these are people that cannot, that you can't blaspheme something you don't know. And we want to put together a case, if we could today, on what the Scripture says, and of all of the Godhead, of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, which of the three does a lost man know? This is interesting for these Jesus-only folks that say that Jesus is God and that there is no other God, that He's one in heaven today. We need to be careful because we know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we preached, I guess, about a year ago. We likened it into what the Bible said as that threefold cord that cannot be easily broken. That these are distinct, but yet they are one. From the beginning of time, throughout all ages, we know that they are one, but yet they are three parts. Sometimes I can't comprehend that. It's hard for me to grasp. But I know it's true because the Bible says so. I can take the Bible for what it says and I can place my cares upon it. All right now. So it's interesting that these three are one and as one, as the Bible says. But yet Jesus Christ said that you can blaspheme me. He said the Son of Man. But yet you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. One would stand back and reason to say to do one is to do the other. If they are one. All right now, let's go ahead. We're going to read, if you would,
in Mark the third chapter. And I believe this will give us a little bit more light. Because once again, the Pharisees and the scribes said that he had the devil. But we can read it in the 22nd verse of the third chapter of Mark. And it says, and the scribes, which came down from Jerusalem, said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of devils cast ye out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in a parable, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan? And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. Now listen, no man enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Now listen, this is Jesus Christ responding to them that said that Jesus, the Son of God, cast out evil spirits, bad spirits, that he was doing it in the power of the devil. And this was Jesus' response, but it didn't stop there. But he said, verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies, wheresoever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness. Now listen, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Then it goes on, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. Now we know that he was the Son of God. If you go ahead and you read back there in Matthew, that even speaks about him being, excuse me, the Son of Man. And he said, you can blaspheme the Son of Man, but you better not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And never once we can go ahead and we can flip over to Luke. How does it say, he that has blasphemed in past tense? But it's either speaking in present tense or future tense. And if you just listen a while, we want to preach a message that might give us clarity on this three passages. If you would, you can turn over once again in the 12th chapter of Luke. And the 8th verse, and it says, also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. And when they bring you, now listen, unto the synagogue and unto the magistrates and powers, take you no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say. All right now. So we have here over in Mark where it says Jesus said what he said. Because they said he hath an unclean spirit. They were saying he cast out devils because he himself had a devil. But we know that Jesus Christ had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit because he was God. He was God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in the flesh as Jesus Christ and three parts, and he walked on this earth and he done all that he done by the power of the Spirit of God. And he was telling them, as we heard here, that you can blaspheme in my name or anybody's name. But you best not blaspheme the Holy Ghost. If you would now, we can turn over into 1 John, the 5th chapter and the 5th verse. And this will be the last place we're going to read this evening. It says, who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth. Once again, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. Now listen. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Okay now, we know here as we read in Matthew that he was the Son of Man. We know that according to 1 John, that they three were one. What was Jesus Christ trying to communicate to the Pharisees when they said he had a devil? Say you can blaspheme the Son of Man, but you can't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. We hear that he said, I believe it was in Mark, that the Holy Ghost is our teacher. We've been born again. We've got one that will teach us, lead us, and guide us, as it says in 1 John. But listen, it is not the Holy Ghost more than a teacher. We know that the Scripture teaches that God comes and he convicts the heart of men. And how does he do that? Through the Holy Spirit of God. All right now, I can say, as it were, to hear about a revival or a preacher in some church, and I can be outside those walls and I can say that man's crazy. All right now, what does it mean? What's the definition of blasphemy? We know that according to the Greek word that's used, that it means to vilify, to speak, and piously defame, rail on, revile, or speak evil of. And to blaspheme God is to do all of these things to God. To blaspheme the Holy Ghost is to say or to have an attitude, as we just read, of one to vilify. What's it mean to vilify? It means to treat it as if it was vile, as it was evil, wretched, disgusting. Listen to me now. We might have that opinion if we've never known God. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you're not born again, of the Godhead, the one that you come in contact with the closest is the Holy Spirit. See, when I was outside the house of God, I had a knowledge of who of God the Father was. I had a knowledge of who Jesus Christ was. But listen, when the Holy Spirit come to my heart, I knew it was more than a tale. He spoke to my heart, and I knew from that instant that God was real. I could be outside the walls and say, what that preacher said's a lie, when he preached the honest to God truth. But listen to me, it's a fearful thing that I sit in the house of God and to say, when the Holy Spirit, not the preacher now, through the preached word, the anointing of God God speak to the mire of your bone and tell you where you stand with Him. But to walk away and say, it's a lie, it ain't true. I've been in churches where people screwed up their own life, but yet they've not felt the convicting power of the Holy Spirit in all their life, and they've joined it. They're a member, a teacher, a Sunday school, a song leader, and you get up and you preach a message against sin and what it will cost you in the end. And you can see the conviction coming over them. And my God, it's a foreign thing to them. And they run away like it's vile and like you're evil. I declare to you today, blaspheme God. The Holy Ghost, right now, what we find here in Mark, it says, because over, not what, one of the disciples wrote, but I've got a tox and chain, and they said the unpardonable sin. But yeah, we find in Mark a little clue. Not only was he speaking to the lost, he's speaking to the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites. But he said, but he that shall blaspheme, speaking of an event that will take place in the future, because not as it were in the past, he says here, shall hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation. Is in danger. Sounds to me like if it was unpardonable, if you couldn't find forgiveness of it, it's to say, but is damned with eternal damnation. But it says in danger, because how can we run? Jesus Christ is the door, and the Holy Spirit is the light. And if we run from the light, how shall we ever enter into the door of His goodness? But I want to tell you today, because there's a lot of people lost that think I blaspheme the Holy Ghost and I can't get saved now. I want to tell you, though you might have blasphemed in the past, that's how you stand before God in the present. But why? Because you've not repented. And why would you repent to one that you think is vile? One that you think is evil? Because there are so many people that would cast all hope away because of something they've done in the past. We heard it last night. Somebody even accusing us of thinking less of them because of what they've done in the past. And it's just not true. Listen, the past sometimes is a good indicator of what might take place in the future. We hear people speaking about the gold market or the stock market, about a particular stock, and there's always a disclaimer at the end. That past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. What are they saying? They're saying, if you've got a good stock that's made 20% over the last 10 years, it's not to say that it'll make 20% over the next 10 years. But yet, when they say that, they're in hopes that you might invest in it, because it is an indicator. It's not set in stone. So yes, I'm weary. When I hear of people's past, whether they be a bank robber, whether they be a murderer, or whatever, listen, or whether they be a blasphemer of God, without having a personal relationship with Him, without repenting, listen to me, you'll stand before God as one that blasphemes in the present. But yet we can come to the Lord, we can bow to Him, and we can ask forgiveness, and He'll forgive us. But yet it says, shall never have forgiveness. Why would it be unpardonable? Because those that would blaspheme the Holy Ghost seeks not the pardon of God. They have no reason. interest, as it were, a reverie, a turned over, as the Bible speaks about. And they have a hatred for God, and they think His goodness is evil. Just as I said before, where we preach in churches, and because somebody in their mind thinks that they're a Christian, although they've never asked the Lord to come into their heart, to forgive them of their sin, to repent, as the Bible says, but yet they join the church, and when the conviction of God, and we've all felt it, amen, comes down upon them, it's not a good thing, and they think that it's evil, but yet they there are those out in the world, as we've already said. I know there's some that said, "Oh, religion, it ain't, there's nothing to it. That's not blaspheming the Holy Ghost." But if He spoke to your heart and you say there's nothing to it, it's all a lie. Listen, you're in danger of eternal damnation unless you go to the one that you've reviled, that you vilify, and repenting to Him, you're ever lost, without hope. Okay now, so where might you find yourself? And you say, well, there are the bits as you said, oh, there's none that could be saved. No, I'm saying repent. Your present situation, it is unrepentant, will cast you into hell. But just like the woman that might have said it 20 years, I know myself, though I was raised in a Christian home, there were things I heard in the Bible that I didn't want to agree with. And I said, well, I don't believe it. As it were, when somebody spoke it to me, and I went on, and I gave it no thought. And when I come to the Lord, and the Lord spoke to my heart through the Holy Ghost now, I didn't blaspheme it. I didn't count it as evil. I didn't rail upon it. But the Holy Spirit convicted me of the blasphemous heart that I had against God. That God was not evil. That He was good. And the door of the land it was able to shine in my life and lead me to Christ. But if we shut our mind off to the light, oh my God, what a situation that we're in. And we see it with those that have never accepted Jesus Christ, and those that are yet still in the house of God as good members. But when the message goes out, and I'm not your judge, but when the message goes out and the Holy Spirit speaks to their heart and convicts them through the Holy Word, and they say, I don't believe it. It ain't real. This ain't true. The Bible says the Spirit is truth. And if He spoke to you, you know exactly what you need to do. And to do anything else is to go contrary. Would it be a blasphemous thing to call God a liar? And yet we find in the first book of John just that by our actions we make Him out a liar. Not that we turn the things of God which are true into a lie. Because the things of God are not true. They are truth. You know, there's a difference. Because God is truth. He is the source of all that is true. It's not just simply an accurate statement, but it goes much farther than that. And we live in a culture today that is so quick to deny the blessings and the workings of God. And they can do that. But when the Lord would bring them to a church service, and the Holy Spirit begins to speak their name, so many of them that have built walls, those walls will be torn down. But if we rise up in anger when the Holy Spirit convicts our heart and shakes our fist at God, how can we be saved?
You know, I thought about that. It's one thing that I know that goes unsaid by a lot of people. But it's a brazen thing, is it not? To voice it, not to think it now, but to voice it. I hate God. But yet it speaks of what's in the heart, does it not? If the fruit's good, the tree's good. The fruit's evil, the tree's evil. But to speak it, it shows almost as if it were a disrespect and a rebellion that goes much farther than thinking it. That's why blasphemous statements are so shocking to some. That, oh my, they have no more fear of God than to voice these blasphemous things. I know that in the past in the Catholic Church, to disagree with the Catholic Church was counted as blasphemy, and you couldn't even reason with one. You couldn't reason among the priests or the clergy for them shouting you down and saying blasphemy. And you know what? That's not necessarily the responsibility of church members. If the members disagree with what something said, we discuss it with the Scripture. We don't holler and shout down and demonize somebody because they have a different opinion than ours. But yet, that's not the same. That blasphemy doesn't exist today. And how is it then that we can blaspheme the Holy Ghost and it still yet remains separate from blaspheming the Son of God? And once again I'll tell you, as we've said, because the Holy Spirit is the only thing a sinner that has ever felt conviction has any connection to. Everything else is an ideal. But when we, and you know, there's those here that weren't raised in a Christian home, and then some that were. When the Lord convicted your heart, you knew it was more than just words the preacher was reading out of a book. But that this is more than a book, because it is filled with the Spirit of God. And yet people say, when a preacher preaches his heart out and gives them book, chapter, and verse, and they go away and they say, well, it ain't true. You need to be careful, because if the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart with the Scripture, but you're not saying what brother so-and-so said ain't true, but you're rising up with your fist toward heaven and saying that the Holy Spirit is a liar, and you'll not enter into heaven with that attitude. Because I believe Jesus Christ here was addressing attitudes. We know that people, they could not be reached by the miracles that he done, because they had demonized him. And how could they come to the Lord when they fled from that which was so good? And we see it today, even yet still. Unfortunately, people tie God with the earthly church. When they see some preacher that's supposed to be called a God, supposed to be a Christian, falls, they say, wait, hold a minute. God ain't real. Everything he said's a lie. Even though he might have spoke the truth on any given day, and it becomes evil for them. But my prayer is that the Lord would bring them unto him. Because listen, if you've heard somebody blaspheme of the Lord God, if you've seen somebody and they had conviction on their life, and they go away and in the coldness of their wicked life, they say there's nothing to God. Don't wash your hands of them. But pray that the Lord might send his Holy Spirit by them once again, that they can feel the warmth of the light, and that he might cause them to shut their eyes from the brightness
for a moment to see that it brings warmth. That's my desire today. I'm afraid because there's some preachers that say that you can't blaspheme the Holy Spirit unless you've had it. Then there's others that say once you've got the Holy Spirit, that you can't lose it. If these are the conclusions, then is it not impossible to do that very thing? But I want to tell you, those that are sitting inside an organized church and those that are outside of it can blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But I'm thankful Jesus Christ didn't say anybody that ever blasphemed or that He said that you were damned to eternal damnation. But He said you're in danger. And I don't know what it would shake somebody. How do you convince somebody that it convinced themselves that good is evil and evil is good? All I can say is pray that the Holy Spirit might teach them. But the Holy Spirit is the very thing that they find to be vile. Do you see what an awful state this is? There's two people in particular that we're thinking about now. And because we've told them the truth and we've loved them and we've tried with all gentleness for years to reach out to them. We've come down and they ask a question. I had to give them the truth. Why? Because the Spirit is truth. They counted me as evil. And I'm alright. That's alright with me. They can blaspheme my name. They can blaspheme the name of Jesus. They can blaspheme the name of this church. But what's got me burned is they blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Because He spoke to them and they were shedding tears and they realized they were wrong. And yet today, if you ask them, they'll say there's no truth to it. That the Holy Scripture, no, I don't think they would be so brazen as to say that the Bible's wrong. But they would say it doesn't apply for today. And it breaks my heart because I can't reach them. But oh, if they blaspheme the Holy Ghost, how shall He reach them as well? And I'm praying that the Lord might give them an occasion, an experience, as He did for Paul when his name was Saul. He was determined. He tortured them until they blasphemed the name of God. How many times do you imagine He was out there and said, or the name of Jesus Christ, rather. And He said, that's right. So you say it again. And they cry out and they curse God once again. Listen. When the Holy Spirit met Paul on the road of Damascus, it said, Paul, Paul, why persecutest thou me? He didn't say, well, no. You're an evil spirit. Glory to God. He said, who is this? And the Lord began to tell him, He was the Christ. Why did He persecute him? And he surrendered. And the Lord took his side so that Ananias might come to him and that he might declare to him the truth of God. With the anointing of the Spirit. And that's my desire today as we get some song to sing. Each and every one of us might see how important it is how we presently stand with the Lord. But there are those think that they have no way of escape because of what they've done in the past. And there are those that blaspheme His name today. But because of some good that they've done in the past, that they're all right. But Jesus Christ said and spoke in the present or in the future. Listen to me. If you call my Holy Spirit a vile thing, if you blaspheme His name, if you rail upon it, if you vilify it and say it's disgusting, how can you be reached? Because you truly are in danger of eternal damnation.
won't you come? I want to tell you something. If you ran from that Holy Spirit, all you got to do is say, I know you're good. I know you're kind. I know that you're sent from a loving God. I know that what you would have for me is not evil at all. Oh, but that is good. You are found by the Father. You are one with the Father and the Holy Son. And I know that you're good and that I'm evil and vile. But forgive me for calling evil good and good evil. Oh Lord, come into my heart. I'll forgive you because the unpardonable sin is only unpardonable because you've yet to seek His pardon. Because you say, there is no way that there is no good God. That I want to tell you that there is, and that He spoke to your heart, and you need not run from Him. Oh, because the farther you run from the Spirit of God, the closer you get to hell. Don't you see, as the Bible says, you're in danger of hellfire. You're in danger of eternal damnation. Won't you come and experience life everlasting?